Blog Talk Radio.
And another edition of Black Knight Update by Sons of the American Legion Radio. This is Ken Kratzer from White Plains, New York today. And we have a chance to talk with a good friend of ours from Army football. That is Steve Erzinger. Steve, good to talk with you today.
Yeah, Ken, thanks for having me. Good to speak with you.
Pleasure. First, I got to say congratulations on your upcoming wedding just next week. That's great. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm excited she said yes. apparently, they don't always do that, but I was one of the lucky ones to trick her, so it was good.
Well, congratulations to both of you. Now, just for folks who I just update your career, you were the captain of the Army football team in 2011. And you played on the Armed Forces Bowl winning team in 2010, and then
yep.
You went off to serve in the Army. But let's talk a little bit about your playing days at West Point. You were part of a very good defensive team at Army that really culminated in that 2010 Armed Forces Bowl win against SMU. What are your memories of those days in that game?
Yeah, sure. I mean, those are obviously fun days to look back on. I thought, you know, there's kind of a little bit of change going in. When I was a freshman, Stan Brock was the head coach, and they changed out with Rich Ellerson, implemented a new system defensively. But a lot of the personnel were the same. So we had some great guys up front, like Yan and Josh McNary, and then Steve Anderson was obviously there in 2010 with some good defensive backs, Donnie Dixon and a few others. So we really meshed as a unit together, and I think defensively we kind of had one bad game that year. You know, to where it wasn't, you know, we didn't execute the way we wanted to, but overall we ended up playing pretty well. And luckily we ended up getting to that 7-win season, which, you know, I don't know if that's a major accomplishment in college football, but I think, you know, kind of as the Black Knights progressed, it was one of the things that kind of gave us a little momentum. So.
Oh, certainly. Well, that was the first team to be in a bowl game in about 15 years. And I remember the night at Yankee Stadium where you played Notre Dame, and you played Notre Dame pretty even in the second half. And I always remember Steve Anderson talking about, you know, he said to turn off the scoreboard and just play football, you know, like you were back on the playground, I guess. And then you guys played pretty well against Notre Dame. What was your thoughts about that big day?
Yeah, I think Notre Dame was kind of a classic. I don't want to call it a mismatch, but like on the line, up in the trenches, where kind of games are pushed. That's one of those things you kind of worry about going into the game. Steve is right. You know, you just when you get in one of those games, and you know, hey, if you get down or something like that, it's best to just turn it off and then kind of relax. And I think, you know, psychologically that helps you just understand, hey, this is football. These guys are just like me at a different school, and we're here to play. So. The second half was good. I know Donovan Travis got an interception there in the second half. We started sticking it to him a little bit defensively. It was a great atmosphere playing in Yankee Stadium. I just wish it would have been on the other side of the scoreboard, but you know, it was overall good, and I think that's an awesome opportunity that, you know, kind of West Point or one of the academies brings to their schedule, you know, for not being, you know, an SEC team or something. You get to play in kind of bigger games.
Yeah, no, that was a big night, the first college football game in the new Yankee Stadium, sellout crowd and a big-time atmosphere, and you guys accounted yourself very well. Well, tell us a little bit about now. You've had you just are in the process of transitioning from the Army. You're going to graduate school at Rice University in Texas, a very fine business school. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your career in the Army. You did a lot. You were promoted to captain. And you were a Ranger. Tell us a little bit about some of the highlights of your career in the Army since West Point.
Sure. So I was a graduate assistant immediately after graduation with the football team. I tore my shoulder out, so I was doing a little bit of recovery there, but ended up branching armor and then going down to Fort Benning for, you know, the basic course, of which I I completed Ranger School. I thought Ranger School was a great opportunity to kind of learn a little bit more about yourself. And, you know, I've recommended it to pretty much everybody I've come in contact with, especially football guys over the years. So, and it helps you become tactically proficient because you're no longer graded on anything else other than kind of your tactical proficiency and ability to manage people in the Army. But after that, I went to the 173rd, their recon unit in Grafenwöhr, Germany, just about an hour and a half north of Munich. And kind of what shaped my career over there was, you know, there's a bit of Russian aggression in Crimea. NATO had to respond some way. Who was the lightest unit? Well, it was an airborne unit called the 173rd. So we deployed to kind of numerous Eastern Bloc countries, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, various things, or various countries. And that was an awesome opportunity. I think probably being there was just generally a highlight because you got so much kind of exposure to intercultural communications, different countries, different, you know, backgrounds, and understanding how, you know, hey, you know, different style of tactics, whether that's, you know, Soviet style tactics versus, you know, kind of Western style tactics and things like that. I think that was really one of the highlights, is just getting exposure to all that in a different world.
Sure. Well, you know, we don't hear as many West Point grads going into armor, although one of our frequent guests, Lieutenant General Guy Swan, was an armor officer and is always an advocate for that. What was it that attracted you to armor as a branch?
I really liked the cavalry side, specifically kind of being a light scout. It's just kind of a different flavor. You operate in smaller teams, and it's not as more of a direct fight. And in my opinion, you know, it's kind of a thinking man's game. You really have to develop kind of a picture for someone who's not there to help them understand what's going on in your area of operation. And that mission kind of overall attracted me. And then as far
Sure.
as, you know, the personnel you work with, I think a lot of the cavalry scouts are very qualified. They kind of have a saying, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, which means, you know, everybody's pretty proficient at everything. Not going to say they're the best at everything, but they're pretty proficient across the board. And so that's kind of an expectation that, you know, hey, you have some pretty motivated soldiers that are going to go out and do some great things. And they're also going to be, you know, first and foremost, participating in their own learning opportunities. So they're going to try to develop themselves, which helps if you're trying
Sure.
to, you know, get everybody kind of distributed it across, you know, geographic isolations and things like that. So,
oh, sure. Hey, you know, we had Trenton Turrentine on an episode a couple of weeks ago, and he talked a little bit about Ranger School, how intense it is. We describe it on our radio shows, you know, as about 60 days of, you know, going through, you know, heat and cold and swamps and not much sleep, not much food, and having to learn to give orders and direction, you know, any time of day or night. Is that what kind of, what was your Ranger School experience like in terms of just learning to endure through a tough time and keep, you know, being able to lead?
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys kind of described it accurately. I think the key thing is you got to want to do it. If you don't want to do it, then you'll find every reason in the world to quit. And then, you know, once you accept your circumstances in there, yes, you're going to be tired. Yes, you know, your body's going to ache. Yes, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable. But everybody else in the course is doing it with you. There's a lot of guys and gals now that went before you, and there's a lot of people that are going to go after
Sure.
you. So it's just kind of putting things in perspective and understanding that, hey, this isn't woe is me. I'm not the only person that's done this, and I'm not going to be the only person to do this. But remaining positive, I think, is key, helping put things in perspective. And then first and foremost, showing up prepared. If you're not in shape, you know, it's just one of those things. You're making your life a lot harder up front. So
Was it easier for you, having been a football player where you were in very good shape, and you're also used to going through August practices where it's, you know, it's a real grind? Was that something that was directly helpful to you in going through Ranger School?
Yeah, I mean, I think sports in general are one of those things that if you're going to go to Ranger School, it's helpful to have played a team sport, specifically one where you got to communicate when you're all tired. So football is a great example of that. I think, you know, wrestling is a good example, although it's an individual you know, you wrestle individually. It is a team sport in that nature. And, you know, at practices, you do a lot of that stuff. So as long as you understand what you're like when you're tired and you can kind of manage that. So for example, sometimes people get short. Sometimes people really want to sleep, you know, so as long as you start understanding that and you can communicate that to your team, that you're working with throughout like kind of all the phases of Ranger School, then, you know, you guys can manage each other and they can help manage you when you're down and you can help manage them when they're down. I think that's kind of one of the most important things, just communication, and understanding what you're like when you're that way, and acknowledging it. Because if you don't do that, you're going to run into some hardships.
You know, it kind of sounds like, you know, my father was a World War II Army officer, served in Italy, and, you know, got through that winter of 44 with his soldiers in the Apennines Mountains. And I guess the thought about Ranger School is it kind of prepares you to be in a long-term combat situation where it's very arduous. You know, it's very rough, and you learn how to endure as an Army officer, keeping, you know, just maintaining the ability to lead, you know, through a tough circumstance. Is that what Ranger School kind of teaches you?
Yeah, I think Ranger School is a good check on the block, or check in the box. If, you know, you have zero combat experience, you haven't done extended dismounted operations in hostile situations, it's just kind of one of those things that helps you. It's kind of a substitute for that combat experience if you haven't done it. So for a second lieutenant, that's going to go out into the big army, it gives you credibility. It shows that you've at least mastered your craft as far as dismounted tactics, and it shows that you can endure. And for a lot of the combat veterans, you know, during the past, you know, 12 years, it's just one of those things that said you went a step above and beyond. And it's one of those things you kind of need to have as a second lieutenant if you're going to go into combat arms, in my opinion.
Sure. Sure.
Hey, I'm sure. Not saying hey, you know, a great officer, but yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hey, do you have to be an officer to go into Ranger, or could enlisted soldiers at a certain level also take on the course?
No, I think that's a great thing about Ranger School is that when you're in there, you're a peer with an officer is the same rank as, you know, say there's a highly qualified private that got in there. You know, you guys are all the same rank. You all have to work together. Obviously, there's a knowledge base difference, whether that's tactically or whether that's with, you know, the disassembly, assembly of a 240, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's the great thing is you have to work in a team to share all the knowledge that you can to help your squad succeed. So yes, enlisted men and women can go. And I think that's honestly one of the best part about the courses is that you have to be peers with everybody, because peer leadership is pretty difficult if, you know, you get kind of an ego about it. So.
Oh, sure, sure. Hey, Steve, and we're talking with Steve Erzinger, who is a captain of the Army football team in 2011, played on the 2010 bowl-winning, Armed Forces bowl-winning team, promoted to captain, is now a graduate student at Rice University. Steve, maybe ask you about what did you learn from West Point from both the academic side and also football, military, drill, that helps you to, you know, in the Army and then today going out into grad school and then into your civilian occupation. What was it that West Point really helped you with?
I think West Point was great in the sense that it gave structure to your life. And in that regard, you can apply that to like when you transition out or when you're in the military, understanding, hey, your requirements help you plan and help you kind of basically understand, you know, your task organization for the day is in regards to like, hey, I've got homework or I've got assignments when I go in the military. Hey, I've got these tasks. I need to do this evening. Oh, by the way, I need to work out. So really just time management, I think, was the best thing that West Point gave you. Academically, it's great. You know, there's a lot of other good intrinsic characteristics that you build while you're there. And you're around some phenomenally smart people and some phenomenally qualified people. But individually, I mean, time management undoubtedly is the biggest thing I took away.
Oh, sure. We talk to when we do interviews of all the younger players on the Army football team, we all ask them about how they learned time management from the very beginning. Because you're asked to do so much in terms of a high level of academics, all the military responsibilities and drill, and then also playing a Division I sport. So that's that's really neat. Now, what major were you at West Point?
I was a management major in the BSNL department.
Okay. How did that help you in the Army? I mean, certainly managing in there's a lot to do in the Army. Some people tell me it's like 400, you know, things you have to get done every day, sometimes with bullets flying overhead. And so management and learning how to make sure, I guess, all the things from equipment to uniforms to food is available for your troops, you know, it's just, you know, a constant challenge. So is that something that helped you when you got out to the field and you were in charge of soldiers?
Yeah, I think the time management piece really played a role in that. Kind of what I took from West Point. But the management, I guess, I don't know how to, it'd probably be more like a business major than anything else. I think it was helpful, you know, some of the concepts that you could take away from that. But overall, it was really, I think, you know, kind of playing, being a part of a team, whether that was down at the Corps in your company or whether that was on the football team or whether when you graduated, it's the guys you're working out with, guys and gals you're working out with. Just understanding kind of personal dynamics, because the Army is a people business. The systems
sure.
are fairly straightforward. So as long as you put the effort to kind of learn, you know, how a range is booked or, you know, what's the planning cycle for my unit or, you know, kind of things like that and understand the basic tactics, like you'll be fine. But if you can't manage people, like you're going to find yourself in a very, I would say bad situation because, you know, that's at the end of the day, what it comes down to.
Yeah. You know, we do reports with a couple of ROTC programs, Providence College in particular. And we used to work with a program out in Pennsylvania. What was it like when you started to work with the officers, your peers who came out of ROTC programs? I guess there's about 5,000 each year who come out from into the Army from ROTC and about 1,000 from West Point, a few more from OCS. How was it to start to work with the second lieutenant who are from ROTC?
Sure. You know, I think there's just the common, the common background or the common theme that you guys would have is that you're all going to be in the military and you all at some point wanted to be in the military. Obviously you wouldn't stay at West Point or be in an ROTC program if you didn't. And to some extent, I think, you know, there's a lot of great ROTC guys that I worked with. I know in the 173rd, my unit, of the 32 lieutenants that we had, I think five were West Pointers and then the rest were ROTC or OCS. So, you know, we had a great unit. We had a lot of camaraderie over there and we worked really well together. So I would say, you know, it was a privilege to work with really anybody that was willing to contribute to the team and understand that, hey, that the team kind of comes before them. And in my experience, a lot of the ROTC guys were able to do that. And quite honestly, I learned a ton from them. So, I thought it was a wonderful experience.
That's great. Now, now let's talk a little bit about your transition. Now you decided to leave the Army and to go on to take an opportunity to be a graduate student, MBA student at Rice University. What was it like to make that decision, and what attracted you to the MBA program down at Rice, a very fine school?
Sure. Yeah. Kind of transitioning, I knew, hey, you know, the real question was, do I want to do company command? I really enjoyed my experience in the Army, and it was kind of taking me down a path. I knew I was going to have to go to a heavy unit, kind of tanks. Nothing wrong with tanks. I like tanks. I respect tanks. I didn't really want to be in charge of tanks. And I knew kind of how the personnel requirements for, like, officer development, they're going to put me in a heavy unit. I wasn't really sure I wanted to do that, so I explored grad school options. And I was just kind of looking at various grad schools, obviously look at rankings, you know, Bloomberg or, you know, Forbes or whatever. And I'm a Houston boy originally, so coming back home made sense. And then, you know, also my fiance ended up getting a job here, so and she's from Houston. So we had both our personal and professional networks in Houston, and we'd been doing kind of long distance for quite a while. So it just made sense. So when I received the the offer to go to Rice, I was pretty ecstatic and happy to kind of set my roots at least for 2 years, in Houston and kind of build a relationship with my fiance and then get back to the kind of hometown. So.
No, it's great. It's all working out for you. And congratulations again on the wedding coming up next couple of weeks. And I got to go back to your question about tanks, because when you said you're an armor officer, I think, Abrams tanks and Bradley, personnel carriers and the like. And, sounds like you really preferred infantry or, one of the other areas where you're more involved with, leading soldiers.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all leading soldiers. I mean, I think they're, leading tanks is not an easy thing. You're covering tremendous distance. You've got, tremendously powerful weapons on your platform. There's a lot of command and control that goes on. You have to have a very skilled and very knowledgeable teams that are in each tank, right? So I think it's a very difficult job, and I think it's, one of those opportunities that would be very helpful in the development of an officer. I just wasn't sure I wanted to do it, and that's where I was kind of coming through. To answer your question, yeah, I'm kind of a physical guy. That's why I like kind of the scout's mindset, covering long distances on foot and being geographically isolated from the rest of the unit, but kind of painting the picture of the battlefield for your commander behind you is probably, 5-10 clicks. I thought that really appealed to me. I like that because, you can kind of be empowered to be a little bit more of a decision maker on the ground, which I really liked. And then, kind of as you rise in the ranks through the military, again, I'm not some military buff, but I did have 5 years of experience. I saw that kind of power get taken away through various leadership styles at the battalion level or, however the personnel kind of manages that. So it just wasn't one of those things that was attractive to me at the time. I don't really regret it, but I'm pretty happy with my decision, and Rice is a great school coming in. I'm learning a lot from my peers, tremendously qualified kids here. And so it's kind of transitioning out into, academia and then being with a ton of other qualified people. I think the perspective you gain from, at least my classmates here. And then, as my fiance reminds me, I got a lot to learn. So I'm just kind of charging hard with all that and still trying to do as much developmental activities that I can. So.
Sure. What kind of subjects and topics are you covering in your graduate school, and what area of business might you like to go to when you graduate?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think one of the reasons I chose to go to graduate school is because upon transitioning out, there's a couple things that, a lot of officers do, usually operational roles or logistics roles. I thought those were great. I just wanted to get a little different flair and become, a more lethal candidate and, in kind of the applicant pool that is corporate America. So I decided to go to graduate school to get the financial skills that I needed to succeed in the business world. So I'm concentrating in finance in my MBA, and then went through the investment banking recruiting process, and I secured an internship with Simmons this summer. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's a boutique investment firm in Houston, kind of do a lot of mergers and acquisition transactions and various things. So that's kind of what I'm focused on kind of for the next 6 months. Hopefully I'll get a full-time offer pending good performance on the internship this summer. But, we'll see how it goes and just keep learning and trying to develop.
Yeah, that's great. We had a chance to visit with someone I believe you played with Alejandro Villanueva. Went out to the Steelers camp in September, and we talked to him a little bit about, transitioning from the Army to the NFL and conditioning he did. And he's really had a tremendous success. It was great to see him play in the Pro Bowl on Sunday. What is it like for you to see one of your teammates out there playing in the NFL?
Yeah, no, I think Ali's a special guy. And honestly, I'm ecstatic that, he had some great things happen to him. He served his country and did, had an outstanding military record and then decided he wanted to transition. And, he's physically talented. He's got tremendous character, and I don't think it could have happened to a better guy on our team. So I'm pretty pumped to see him. He's, you know, been able to handle himself very well, obviously performing at an extremely high level to kind of tap into his potential. And, you know, I just wish him the best. And, you know, I hope he can continue to compete and play at that level. And then, you know, also I think it bodes well for West Point in general that you have a guy like him that's able to communicate effectively and you kind of transmit the message that you want as a West Pointer, you know, that, hey, you know, we're doing good things. This guy's a great guy. And it probably should help kind of recruiting and other things like that. So.
Oh, sure. We, you know, you were a terrific defensive player. You were the, you know, you, could you, have, you know, you had the ability to really go sideline to sideline as a linebacker. You were all over the field. I often wondered if it was it a question for you to play linebacker or maybe to play strong safety, because you had so much speed and quickness on the football field.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just kind of flowed well with our defense. You know, Steve Anderson was a phenomenally talented middle linebacker, and you know, he earned the spot that he had. And when it comes to kind of stuff like that, if you got a guy that can adjust, then and that was me. You know, hey, let's put him into some coverage. You know, at Rover and see how he does. And ended up doing, you know, okay. And it kind of stuck with the position. And me and Steve kind of meshed pretty well. You know, and fit and replace and various things. You know, defensive wise. So. We enjoyed playing with each other. I enjoyed just having a role that I was able to contribute effectively to the team and at least try to get in a little pass coverage. Sometimes it was a mismatch for me, but tried to do the best I could anyways.
Now, you were a terrific player. In fact, I noticed that you played in the East-West Shrine Game your senior year, and Brett Toth of Army just played in that game as well as the Senior Bowl this past Saturday. Just a testimony that you are a pretty good college football player. What is it like for you? You know, obviously it's been fun the last 2 years. In fact, Army played down at Rice, played a very positive game down there early in the season. What has it been like for you to watch the growth and success of this Army program the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it's been great. You know, honestly, it was kind of one of the first games I've been Army games I've been to since I graduated. I think it was, aside from my graduate assistant time, it was the first game that I've been to. So it was good to see it. It was good to see that they're kind of still running the triple option and some familiar faces. I saw Max Jenkins on the sidelines. He was kind of working ops for the football team right now. So that was nice. The team overall looks pretty good. But again, I'm not involved anymore. I'm just kind of a bystander, a Monday morning quarterback, if you will. And that was, you know, that was kind of a blowout game. So it was good to be a part of that. They look big. They look fast. And I'm glad Coach Munkin's got them kind of moving in the right direction.
Yeah, no, you were, a big part of it. I mean, being an Army football captain, you were on a bowl-winning team. And, you know, you played some big-time games. Big part of it. So you're part of the key part of the Army football history. And, you know, we hear often about the the brotherhood of Army football, and obviously how close the classes are at West Point, you know, and you keep in touch very closely when you're out in the Army, and how important that is when, you know, you need advice on something, on how to handle a situation comes up in the Army. Just also a bit about, you know, that part of being a West Point alumni, just being able to be part of this worldwide fraternity of graduates and also this close-knit group of former Army football players.
Yeah, I that was something I really didn't realize until I kind of transitioned about kind of how the alumni interact and how that kind of, you know, they always say, hey, it's a powerful alumni, it's a tight-knit group. You know, what does that mean? And, you know, so when I was thinking about transitioning out and hadn't received my offer letter to Rice to attend graduate school, you know, I was basically looking on LinkedIn, seeing if someone was from West Point or an academy really in general. And, you know, I'd shoot them a note, and I think 99% of the time I had people respond saying, you know, hey, I'd love to talk, you know, give me a time that you're free. And you know, some of these people were fairly influential people that held, you know, positions where, you know, hey, they probably didn't need to check their LinkedIn, or they didn't need to, you know, take a phone call with, transitioning JMO. So it was pretty awesome to see that, hey, everybody's willing to help out. and everybody's, you know, willing to take some time out of their schedule. And I think the most important thing that everybody's been telling me is, hey, I'm going to help you out, but hey, just remember the only thing you owe me is that you need to help the next person that's coming out. And I think that's a great kind of mindset to have in regards to the Army football team. That's kind of a brotherhood you'll always be a part of, regardless if you've seen them in 1 year, you know, 5 years. Every time you see them, it's kind of like day one. You know, you saw them yesterday and nothing really changed. So it's good to be back and have friends that you can count on. And, you know, if you need to lean on somebody, you can go to that tight-knit group. So,
yeah. Hey, just a question for you, you know, building on that, is, you know, we're working in the American Legion, Sons of the American Legion, helping wherever we can with veterans who are leaving the military and trying to transition to civilian careers. Many are doing what you're doing, completing their education, advancing their education. Some have health care needs. What is some of the advice you have for, you know, your fellow officers, fellow soldiers or military members who are leaving and trying to find their way to success in the civilian world?
So I think this might be controversial. First and foremost, I don't think anybody deserves anything. So I felt like in some senses when I was transitioning out, my peers were always expecting like they would get something just because of all the tremendous things that they've done. But it's just as competitive, if not more competitive, in the civilian world. And so what I would recommend is just be hungry and be willing to learn and understand that, hey, maybe the way you're doing something isn't the right way, or maybe you could tailor it into a manner that's a more effective means of communication. You know, there's a lot of great things where you start throwing down military jargon, and a lot of civilians will turn off, and it's just because they don't understand the language. And there's nothing wrong with that. You just got to be willing to help share your story in the manner that it will be received, or in a manner that it can be received. And I think that's probably number one. And you know, kind of number one through three is, you know, you don't really deserve anything, and then just be hungry and be willing to learn. And I think that's probably the best way. So,
well, we think you deserve a lot. You know, everybody serves in the military, everybody who goes through difficult training, everybody who,
sure,
you know, finds himself deployed to places like Iraq, Afghanistan, you went to Ukraine, you know, places, Africa, obviously, you know, we have a lot of West Point people and Army people in South Korea today. And, mm-hmm. you know, career civilians like myself never got asked to do that. My father did, but that's pretty special and never to be underestimated. And you always deserve a lot of appreciation and respect for that. Let me just ask you about those soldiers you may have worked with or know of who mm-hmm. May have been in combat situations, who may be struggling with PTSD when they come back, other physical ailments. What are your thoughts on helping those who, you know, are coming back with PTSD or another injury of some type?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So just touch briefly on what we just talked about is really the fact that, hey, don't go in with the expectation that you do deserve something. But I do think it's recognized kind of the hardships and the training and the schools and the mental or the intellectual capital that you bring in kind of like
sure.
Difficult situations. So I deployed, I guess, 2015 to Afghanistan, and coming back with a
oh,
lot
you
of
did?
Guys
okay.
that have, yeah, I did. And coming back with a lot of those guys that, and gals, you know, that have seen, you know, real combat and obviously there's been some side effects. I think, you know, it's one of those things that, people have to have the means to come out, and they just got to kind of, the way I guess we're handling it is through education. And I don't want to pretend to know the firsthand effects of it because I haven't personally been on that side, but I think soldiers that have come to me that want help, you just have to know the resources and how they can help and be aware of it. I mean, it's not something to shy away from. Everybody has issues. I think there's comfort in knowing that, you know, you're not isolated, you're not alone, and you know, you're part of a group, and it's there's nothing wrong with a group. You're just there to share, right, and understand each other's situation. So I think the way the Army's kind of handling it is good. I think the way it's been perceived, at least on social media, as everybody's, you know, kind of been talking about it through various, you know, accounts, I think that's great, and I think, you know, the soldiers and seamen, airmen, Marines, and all those guys, are kind of getting to where they need to do. But it's a serious issue that I think we should continue to press forward with.
Well, absolutely. It's a key concern for the American Legion, taking care of veterans who have PTSD and other ailments from all of the conflicts going back. We have American Legion's working on helping a lot of soldiers and military from Vietnam and to all those who have served like yourself in the post 9/11 conflicts. And we're talking with Steve Erzinger, former Army football player, former Army captain, and veteran, as we just mentioned, of Afghanistan and also Ukraine, going to grad school at Rice University and getting married in the next couple of weeks. Steve, is there something about the Army that you're going to miss now that you're maybe you miss already from going into the civilian world? Is there aspects of the Army that you're going to miss?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. I think first and foremost is kind of the team atmosphere. I haven't transitioned fully into the corporate world, still in academia, but I feel like that won't be as intense, and I really enjoyed that. I also enjoyed the people I worked with. The diversity you get through different backgrounds, and different, just through different people and all their stories is amazing. And I think that really helps build a team where you can learn from everybody else as much as they can learn from you. And I think that's extremely valuable. So I think those are kind of the two things that I'll miss. And it's also nice to kind of move every 2 years. Sometimes you're not in the best locations. You want to change it up. It's nice.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure the camaraderie of those you served with is very valuable. And I'm sure you'll be staying in touch with many people. And I just want to thank you and wish you congratulations on your upcoming wedding and graduate school at Rice and your future. Just great to talk with you again. And we've got to stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. Thank you for having me today. And I appreciate you guys, reaching out and selecting me to come on. So very privileged. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll hopefully do it again down the road. So this is another edition of Sons of the American Legion Radio, our Black Knight update today with Steve Erzinger, Army captain. And we are sponsored. We're all part of the American Legion, the world's largest veterans organization. Information about the organization, just go to legion.org. And veterans like Steve, love to have you as a member of the American Legion one day. So from White Plains, New York, just going to say have a great day. We're part of Post 135, White Plains, New York, and all part of the Sons of the American Legion organization, 370,000 sons of veterans and American Legion members out serving America's veterans. Steve, thank you again. Have a great day, and we'll sign off for today for Sons of the American Legion Radio.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Bye.